Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the White House lifts its label on China as a currency manipulator.
Preparations get underway for the signing of a Phase 1 trade agreement.
Earnings season starts with reports from J.P. Morgan and Citigroup.
And Boeing comes under more fire for communications on its troubled MAX jet.
The House is expected to turn over two articles of impeachment this week. Plus, it's debate night for the Democratic presidential candidates. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. LSU capped a perfect season, beat Clemson to win college football's national championship. At the Garden, the Rangers routed the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com.
And U.S. futures have moved lower after yesterday's record close for the S&P 500, 601 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 4 points. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany, little changed. CAC in Paris down 0.25%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.83%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 30 cents at $58.38 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $4.60 at $15.46.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1134 against the dollar. The yen 110.03. Nathan.
And Karen, today it's all about developments on the U.S.-China trade front. First, the Trump administration has lifted its designation of China as a currency manipulator, saying the country has made enforceable commitments not to devalue the yuan. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
It's certainly a sign of warming of relations. We don't have any official response from Beijing about this, but of course they were very angered by the move when Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin had announced this. And it's not too much of a surprise, though, to Beijing that they're now reversing this, given that he had said months ago that if a trade deal were to be signed, they would consider removing that tag.
Now, the move to drop China as a currency manipulator came in the Treasury Department's semi-annual foreign exchange report. The document was scheduled for release 3 months ago, but it was delayed as the U.S. and China negotiated over trade.
Up next, the U.S. and China sign a Phase 1 trade agreement. Sources tell us that happens tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. in the East Room of the White House. Here with more is Sean Donnan from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Clearly, we're going to get a lot of efforts by both sides to try and build up that Phase 1 deal and sort of register some wins. We'll wait and see exactly what the substance of the deal is, but there are still a lot of questions about where we go to from here. And it's not just whether China lives up to Phase 1, it's whether we ever get a phase two.
And we'll also get a first look at all 86 pages of the Phase 1 agreement, which is expected to include commitments on U.S. intellectual property and new purchases of American farm products.
Meantime, fresh trade data out of China overnight show the country's imports and exports both surged in December. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Imports jumped 16.3% year-on-year, compared to an estimate of 9.6%. The Phase 1 deal calming fears somewhat. Exports up 7.6%, much better than the Bloomberg survey. Still, trade with the United States was troubled, declining 11% on the year in yuan terms. The trade surplus with the United States, $296 billion U.S. dollars, down from $323 billion. The EU is China's largest trading partner, followed by ASEAN and then the United States. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. The strong trade data and pending trade deal helped stocks in Asia post modest gains overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. China CSI 300 was down around a third of 1%, but elsewhere sentiment was strong. Australia's ASX 200 finishing at a fresh record. Taiwanese stocks holding at 30-year highs and South Korea's KOSPI holding at April 2019 levels. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 0.7%, resuming trade after Monday's holiday. But in the Philippines, stocks in the peso declined as trading resumed in the nation following the shuttering of markets Monday due to the eruption of Volcano Taal. In Singapore, I'm Julie. At Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. While the U.S. and China spat hits the pause button, a new trade fight between Europe and the White House could be about to ramp up. Here with the details is Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek, live from our London bureau. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The European Union's new trade chief is heading to Washington for wide-ranging talks. Phil Hogan will meet U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and other American officials to rebuild ties that have frayed in recent months. While President Trump has held back on a threat to hit European cars and auto parts with tariffs that are much dreaded in the EU, both sides have revived old disputes and triggered new ones as a result of fundamental disagreements over trade policy. And the standoff between the West and Iran only adds to the complexity. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Turning to markets now, earnings will be a big driver today as the first three major banks report results. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
We'll hear from JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo today as banks close the books on another lucrative year. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg expect to see an 18% rise in earnings per share at JPMorgan, 14% at Citigroup, and a 1% decline at Wells Fargo. Analysts say the streak of record-breaking earnings for U.S. banks has probably peaked. Estimates for 2020 are for a combined profit drop of $10 billion as global interest rates remain stubbornly low and geopolitical tensions stay high. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. Now, Boeing doesn't report earnings till later this month, but now it's coming under more fire for internal communications related to its troubled MAX jet. Live with the details now is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, Lion Air considered putting its pilots through simulated training before flying the 737 MAX, but dropped the idea after Boeing convinced them in 2017 it wasn't necessary. Internal Boeing communications show Lion Air's initial request for training was also met with contempt. One Boeing employee in an email called them stupid and idiots. A year later, 189 people died when a Lion Air MAX crashed, and that was blamed on inadequate training. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And futures are lower. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street now. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It looks like President Trump's impeachment trial will likely get fully underway next week. According to a person familiar with the plans, the House is poised to vote tomorrow on the impeachment managers named by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. It would be followed by a vote to authorize transmittal of the articles to the Senate. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez says there's a small number of witnesses that can shed real light on what transpired.
They have the power in their hands. Either we will get witnesses because Republicans who are being patriots and not partisans will join us to have witnesses. And if we don't have witnesses, it will be because Republicans wanted a whitewash and not a real transparent trial.
Six Democratic presidential candidates qualified to be on the debate stage tonight at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. It's the last debate ahead of next month's Iowa caucuses. Former VP Joe Biden talked about recent poll numbers that show a tight race in Iowa. Biden, calling it a toss-up, says his support is across various demographic groups.
We represent the broadest coalition of people, not just any one segment of the party, but young, old, brown, black, people, women, men.
Bloomberg will bring you live coverage of the debate starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. And following the debate, we'll have a special edition of Sound On with Kevin Cirilli, live from Iowa. Iran said it has arrested a number of people linked to the January 8th downing of a Ukrainian passenger jet, killing 176 people on board. The country's president called on the judiciary to form a special court and fully investigate the disaster. The 21 Saudi nationals training at the Pensacola Naval Station in Florida will be sent back to Saudi Arabia. An investigation found 17 of the trainees had jihadi literature. The announcement comes over a month after the deadly shooting rampage by a Saudi airman who opened fire on American military at the base.
Attorney General William Barr says the shooter made some posts on social media.
During the course of the investigation, we learned that the shooter posted a message on September 11th of this year stating the countdown has begun.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, what a year for LSU and especially its quarterback Joe Burrow, former backup at Ohio State, relative unknown at the start of the season. Burrow won the Heisman Trophy in a landslide, and in 15 games he threw 60 touchdown passes. Five more last night in New Orleans as LSU dethroned last year's champ Clemson 42-25. Burrow and LSU go 15-0 and win the national championship.
Feels good. I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's been so many people that have come into this, from people that have helped me along my journey from Ohio, Louisiana, everywhere. And we couldn't have done it with a better group of guys. Not just football players, but great, great men that I just feel blessed to be a part of this.
In a few months, Burrow is expected to be headed for Cincinnati, likely first pick of the NFL draft. Took a few months before the first Ranger-Islander game of the season at the Garden. All blue shirts, 6-2. Artemi Panarin having a big season. He had a big night, 2 goals, 3 assists. Houston Astros still in the books for having won the 2017 World Series, but that title is certainly tainted. The Astros, in their home games, used an elaborate technology-aided sign-stealing system, and baseball yesterday punished them. A $5 million fine, the most they could dole out. First and second round draft picks taken away for 2 years. And Astros manager A.J. Hinch and GM Jeff Luhnow were both suspended and then fired. In 2017, the Astros beat the Yankees in the ALCS by winning all four home games where the sign-stealing system was being used. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, the NFL continues to rack up ratings. The Kansas City Chiefs come from behind win over the Houston Texans, drew more than 35 million viewers on CBS, up 21% from last year's matchup. And the Packers-Seahawks game had an even bigger audience. Viewership there peaked at more than 42 million. Fox says it was the most watched event of the weekend and the top telecast since the last Super Bowl. Futures starting to trend lower now ahead of bank earnings. S&P futures are down 5 points now. Dow futures down 28. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 18 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Kara Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street, and this update brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at SEIC.com/IMS. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. China's trade with the U.S. slumped almost 11% last year in yuan terms. The EU remained China's largest trading partner, and America fell to third place on the list. Boeing is under more fire for internal communications related to the MAX jet. Sources tell us Lion Air considered putting its pilots through simulator training for the plane, but Boeing convinced the airline it was unnecessary. The next year, 189 people died in a Lion Air MAX jet crash. Ceasefire talks in Libya unraveled after a military commander left without signing the agreement. The truce that began over the weekend now threatens to fall apart entirely. And in sports, LSU mauled Clemson 42-25 to win the college football national championship. Joe Burrow threw for 5 touchdowns, capping his Heisman-winning season in style. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures now down 7 points. Dow futures down 53. NASDAQ futures down 23. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.83%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Senate Republicans are signaling they will reject the idea of simply voting to dismiss the articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. As the House prepares to send the charges to the chamber, senators are still negotiating the ground rules for the historic trial. Trump has suggested Republicans could dismiss the charges, but key senators say that is not likely and they want to hear the case. It is debate night for the Democratic presidential candidates. Bloomberg will bring you the debate live from Iowa with coverage starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. In other sports, in the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders 6-2. The Bruins lost. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and indeed it is debate night in Des Moines, Iowa, with six Democratic presidential candidates taking the stage before the First in the Nation caucuses. Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli is with us live from Des Moines ahead of tonight's exchange and the post-debate spin. Well, Kevin, we got 3 weeks to go. The polls are tightening. It's got to be important for somebody to have a breakout moment tonight, no?
No, it is. And in fact, the tension between Senator Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders' campaign has really escalated just over the last weekend. Senator Warren complaining that Bernie Sanders' campaign has, quote unquote, trashed her. Then Bernie Sanders defending himself, saying that is not what is going on with the various campaign literature that his campaign has been giving out. So they've really up until now been able to keep it cool between them, but that is all off the table now.
Yeah, and if there is a possibility that that tension boils over on the stage tonight, does that provide an opening for the candidates who have tried to appeal to the sort of big tent vote to break through here?
You know, that's a great point, and we should note that Cory Booker has dropped out of the race. You know, I think that's a great point, but up until now, I mean, a lot of national polls that continue to come out show that Joe Biden consistently has been able to consistently remain at the front runner here. So from that vantage point, Pete Buttigieg, someone who has also been able to go to the front of the pack, he's going to be jockeying tonight, Amy Klobuchar, and of course, this fascinating dynamic between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Joe Biden has managed to hold on to his frontrunner status in national polls. But when you take a look at the polling in Iowa itself, it's almost like a jump ball at this point, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, the polls have it's incredibly, incredibly close, not just with Iowa, but also with New Hampshire. This is also going to be the first debate, Nathan, where we see Iran and foreign policy take center stage, the first time that there's been a debate since the tensions in the Middle East have flared up. So from a national security perspective as well, this will be really a chance for voters to see where the candidates are on those issues.
Yeah, I wonder whether that could pose a vulnerability for Biden as that front runner, given the criticism he's taken from some of the other candidates over his vote for the Iraq war all those years ago.
But that's a great point. And in fact, that could provide an opening for Bernie Sanders, who, of course, opposed the Iraq war. And beyond that, on the campaign trail, reportedly, Joe Biden has also faced questions about the Ukraine issue and his son. So the stakes are incredibly high from a foreign policy perspective, and this is the final debate before the final debate before the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, talking about the Ukraine issue, that brings up the impeachment saga that's going to be playing out as soon as next week. I mean, that's got to be a big overhang on what these candidates are going to be talking about tonight.
Well, and not only that they're going to be talking about it, Nathan, but remember that when there's a Senate trial, these senators like Elizabeth Warren are going to have to be there during the trial. So it's a time crunch as well.
And you mentioned Cory Booker dropping out of the race yesterday, struggling in the polling, struggling to meet the criteria to get on this stage. This is going to be the first time we don't see any candidates of color on the debate stage. What does that say about the criteria that the Democratic National Committee have put up for these exchanges?
Well, DNC Chairman Tom Perez has said that the rules that they've set are something that everybody had agreed to, and that they've had so many candidates running that they have to cut off some. But, you know, Tom Perez is in a tough spot in terms of how to navigate such a crowded field.
Yeah, and with time running out, of course, until those Iowa caucuses, now 3 weeks from yesterday. It's coming up quick here. Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli with us live from Des Moines. Kevin, thank you for the debrief ahead of tonight's exchange. Stay with Bloomberg Radio for live coverage of the 7th Democratic presidential debate from the Hawkeye State beginning at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time, followed by a special post-debate edition of Bloomberg Sound On with Kevin Cirilli. Very busy day for him. Ahead of all that, futures pointing to a lower open now on Wall Street. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. At 6:25 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties. For investor partners, see them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower following several developments on the U.S.-China trade front. First, the Trump administration is lifting its designation of China as a currency manipulator, saying Beijing has made enforceable commitments not to devalue the yuan. Alan Sinai is a strategist at Decision Economics.
I didn't think the label was correct in the first place. I think it was part of the political back and forth and the prelude to the very tough trade discussions that we've had, and now this is another step in the process of melting down and pulling back from the tremendous confrontation that went on during 2019.
Up next, the U.S. and China sign a phase one trade agreement. Sources tell us that'll happen tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. at the White House. Here with more is Sean Donnan from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Wednesday morning, we'll get about 200 people plus at the White House for what is likely to be a bit of a victory lap for the Trump administration. They finally are going to roll out this phase one deal. We're also going to see for the first time the text of that agreement, and that will be where the devil is, the devil always being in the details.
Meantime, we have fresh trade data out of China showing the country's imports and exports surged in December. Exports rose 7.6%, while imports were up more than 16%. And we get the details from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
Now, a big reason for this beat is likely that improving sentiment as a result of the U.S.-China trade truce and a boost in exports, given the expectation that there at least wouldn't be any more tariff escalations in the near term. So orders picking up there. This could also be due to some front-loading as a result of Chinese New Year's being a little bit earlier this year, coming up in January.
For all of 2019, exports increased 0.5% and imports declined 2.8%.
Back here in the U.S., earnings will be a big driver for markets today. We get results from J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo.
Meantime, Boeing is under more fire for internal communications related to its troubled MAX jet. Joining us live with details now is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Karen, in one Boeing email, an employee refers to Lion Air officials as stupid and idiots for requesting simulator training on the 737 MAX. Boeing eventually convinced the airline to drop that request. That was 2017. The next year, 189 people died when a Lion MAX jet plunged into the Java Sea. That was blamed in part on inadequate training. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Now, S&P futures are lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures down 19. And the 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield, 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year is at 1.57%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump's impeachment trial is likely to get fully underway next week. A person familiar with plans says the House will meet today and is poised to vote tomorrow on the impeachment managers named by Speaker Nancy Pelosi, followed by a vote to authorize transmittal of the articles to the Senate. Trump then would have 2 days to respond to a summons to provide his defense. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told his colleagues they may soon be ready to move forward with President Trump's impeachment trial. McConnell also took a swipe at the integrity of the impeachment investigation.
The articles of impeachment they had drafted were more like a censure resolution based on partisan anger than an actual impeachment based on careful investigation.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says he's hopeful that some Republicans push McConnell to allow witnesses.
If McConnell succeeds in dismissing this case without witnesses, it will be the first impeachment case, not just involving a president, but involving anyone in the nation's history in which a trial went forward without witnesses.
Schiff spoke on ABC's The View. Democratic presidential candidates are set to debate tonight in Des Moines, Iowa. It is the last debate before Iowa's lead-off caucuses set for February 3rd. Bloomberg will carry tonight's debate live. Coverage starts at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. And following the debate, we'll have a special edition of Sound On with Kevin Cirilli live from Iowa. The Iranian government announced they have made arrests in the accidental shooting down of a Ukrainian International Airlines jet last week. All 176 people on board the jet were killed. A spokesman for Iran's judiciary did not say how many were arrested, but did say an extensive investigation was conducted. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says Iraqi's leaders have privately told him in repeated phone calls that they want U.S. troops to stay, despite their public pronouncements to the contrary. Pompeo also called Iranian General Soleimani killed in a U.S. drone strike one of the world's deadliest terrorists and said his death was intended to send Iran a message.
President Trump and those of us in his national security team are reestablishing deterrence, real deterrence, against the Islamic Republic.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. It is coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the national championship game in New Orleans. Two teams named Tigers, both undefeated coming in. Slow start for LSU. Clemson led by 10. Largest deficit that LSU faced all year. But LSU poured it on from there. Finished the first half with 3 touchdowns in 9 minutes. Finished the game by outscoring Clemson 35-8 to make the final 42-25. Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow threw for 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, said he knew it was just a matter of time.
You can't hold us down forever. You know, I think we're too explosive. Our coaches are too good. Our players are too good. Our O-line is too good. And, you know, they had a great plan coming in. Like I said, Coach Vanderbilt is great at what he does. And it just took us a while to get it figured out.
Jamar Chase, 9 catches, 221 yards. He scored twice. Clemson dethroned after winning 29 in a row. Their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, had never before lost a game. At the Garden, Rangers pulled away, beat the Islanders 6-2. Artemi Panarin, 2 goals, numbers 25 and 26 on the year. He also had 3 assists. Spring training around the corner, and the Houston Astros need to hire a manager and general manager. The franchise rocked by being caught in a sign-stealing scandal where TV monitors were used in 2017 when the Astros won the World Series. Fined $5 million, 2 first- and 2 second-round draft picks taken away. A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow both suspended and then fired. And Red Sox manager Alex Cora could be the next to go. He was involved in this as the Astros bench coach in 2017. Baseball put off punishing Cora because the investigation into what the Red Sox did when they won the series in 2018 is ongoing. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. Bank earnings take center stage for investors today, but we also get inflation data when the government issues the Consumer Price Index for December at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast CPI rose 0.3%, matching the prior month. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Psychology is a driver of inflation expectations, and worries seem to be few and far between. The University of Michigan reported Americans see inflation running at a very tame 2.2% annual pace over the next 5 years, the tamest in data back to the 1970s. Bloomberg Economics says tepid labor costs pose what it calls modest upside risk to inflation over the foreseeable future. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Goldman woos mom and pop with a 2% magic number. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It seems Goldman Sachs understands the power of round numbers. In a recent email to users of its consumer bank, Marcus, it highlighted its 11-month no-penalty certificate of deposit. The annual percentage yield on the CD, 2%. That rate stands out at a time when the 10-year Treasury yield is less than 2%. following a trio of Federal Reserve interest rate cuts in 2019. For savers, no-penalty CDs serve as something of a happy medium. The yield is higher than a savings account, and there's no cost for breaking the CD early. The one downside is that if someone needs money, the entire balance has to be withdrawn at once. Goldman says it has attracted billions of dollars in deposits to no-penalty CDs, but it still has a ways to go. Its consumer and wealth management unit generates just a fraction of the bank's overall profits. The good news? A nice, round 2% yield makes it easier for Marcus to win over more customers. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. At 6:39 on Wall Street, it is time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Eco-friendliness and sustainability are important to a majority of American and Canadian consumers, according to a study by IBM and the National Retail Federation. About 3,500 North American consumers were surveyed. Nearly 70% of those who identified themselves as environmentally conscious said they would be willing to pay a premium for products that are recycled. More than half say they would change their shopping habits if it would reduce the negative impact on the environment. And 4 out of 5 want to know where the products they buy come from. IBM and the NRF polled 19,000 consumers in 28 nations and found that brand purpose surpasses cost and convenience for a growing number of shoppers across all demographics. A third of all consumers say they will stop buying a preferred product if they lose trust in the brand, and social media has made it easier than ever to keep tabs on favorite brands. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And as we await results from J.P. Morgan to kick off fourth quarter earnings season, futures are moving lower now. S&P futures down 5.5 points. Dow futures lower by 40 points. NASDAQ futures down 18.5. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning on what's going to be a busy morning for bank earnings. We're watching J.P. Morgan earnings crossing the Bloomberg right now with a fourth quarter profit at $2.57 a share. Futures, meanwhile, are lower. S&P futures are down about 5 points. Dow futures down 36 and NASDAQ futures down 18. Again, those earnings are just crossing the Bloomberg, and we're going to dive into them in just seconds from now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 32 cents at $58.40 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $4.40 at $15.46.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1132 against the dollar. The yen at 109.96. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The Iranian government announced they have made arrests in the accidental missile strike that downed a Ukrainian International Airlines jet last week. That announcement coming shortly after President Hassan Rouhani said in a televised speech she called for a special court to be set up by the judiciary to start an investigation. All 176 people on board the jet died. Just one more debate until voting starts in Iowa. Six Democratic presidential candidates will take the stage tonight in Des Moines. Bloomberg will provide coverage of the debate starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. College football, LSU won the national championship. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders. The Bruins lost. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street as we continue to watch earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase cross the Bloomberg Terminal. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams joins us live. And just some of the top line numbers, Allison, fourth quarter earnings per share, $2.57, and adjusted revenue, $29.21 billion. Both of those well above the top analyst estimate. This is quite the beat here, Allison.
It is, and we haven't seen the release yet to see if there are some one-timers, some gains in there. The number that's standing out is fixed income trading revenue, 3.45. That is much better than the 2.44 expected. Of course, again, the question is there anything in there that's unusual? We did expect very strong fixed income growth compared to a weak year ago quarter, but certainly that is much better.
And as we continue to watch these results roll in, investment banking revenue in line with analyst estimates. What does that tell you?
So we did see sort of a strong end to the quarter. We saw strength in equity and debt fees. However, we advisory revenue is an area that has a tougher comparison. It was very, very strong a year ago. The good news on M&A is that announced volume has been very strong in the quarter, and so we think that's going to feed through to next quarter.
Now, when we have a fixed income trading result coming so high above estimate on this print, Allison, what does it tell you about what we could hear about the forward guidance coming up?
So again, we're going to want to make sure that there's not some kind of a one-timer or gain in that number. But JP Morgan and Citigroup, who also reports shortly, are the leaders in fixed income trading. And for that company to post a much better than expected number, it's helpful to the run rate. You know, the worry with fixed income trading is that it's not as recurring as some other types of revenue. So when we set expectations for next year, we're going to want to dig into a little bit more, you know, what are the drivers? One of the key drivers to fixed income trading throughout the year has been better credit trading, and that's really been helped by some of the strength in the primary calendar. You know, we talked a little bit before about debt fees and some of the strength in issuance. However, our credit strategist, Noel Hebert, has said he feels like, you know, some of that volume's been pulled forward, so does that mean the same for trading revenue? Also, volatility. We've seen a pickup in volatility. We've seen a pickup sort of to healthy levels in the beginning of the year. But can that be sustained? We really do need that to get some lift to the rates trading business, which is the biggest part of FICC.
And some of the forward guidance now we're starting to get from JP Morgan, seeing first quarter net interest income about $14 billion. That's just about in line with estimates. And CEO Jamie Dimon saying the U.S. consumer continues to be in a strong position. What unanswered questions are you looking for now that that's come out?
So those are two of the things that we were seeking just in terms of the net interest income that has been, you know, it was an area of weakness throughout 2019 in terms of the expectations getting weaker. We saw some stabilization throughout this quarter in both the environment and in terms of some expectations. So that coming in a little bit better helps us feel better about the stabilization and the consumer loan growth. Again, the question is how sustainable is the growth? We're going to want to hear a little bit more on what's happening on the other side of the balance sheet. So what's happening with the pricing of deposits? So consumer loan growth is something that we saw for the industry and expected to be strong. We're happy to hear that the consumer is healthy from JP Morgan. But what's happening in terms of deposit costs? That's an area where we're expecting to see some decline in those costs, and that really helping to further stabilize net interest income into 2020.
And we're starting to see some of that positive sentiment filter into the pre-market with volume building for JP Morgan and shares up by 1.1% in early trading. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams will know you'll be back with us throughout the morning as we continue to wait for results, not just from JP Morgan and the forward guidance, but from Citigroup and Wells Fargo later this morning before trading begins in the cash market on Wall Street. Now we want to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories there include President Trump being accused of playing politics with China's currency status before signing that phase one trade deal. Six Democrats meeting for the seventh presidential debate in Des Moines before next month's Iowa caucuses. And as that happens, President Trump holds a reelection rally in Milwaukee. Also making news, the wheels getting set in motion now for an impeachment trial in the Senate to begin perhaps by 1 week from today. Let's get the very latest now on all that with Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Of course, we're waiting for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to meet with her caucus later today. What's the expectation? What's going to come out of that?
Well, the expectation, Nathan, is that we're going to hear from the caucus that they want to name some managers to send trigger this process, which is very ritualistic in the House, of sending the impeachment articles over to the Senate. And so we can see this process, which has been delayed now up to 3 weeks or in excess of 3 weeks, actually begin rolling forward as soon as tomorrow.
So do we know what the House Democrats' plan is for the prosecution? Do we know who's going to be named to that impeachment management team?
Well, we're likely to see Adam Schiff and some other people who are instrumental in the original drafting of the impeachment articles. They're likely to be included. But it's a bit of a lobbying campaign right now to see who's going to be named by Pelosi. And I think there's a lot of people who want to be involved in the Senate process.
What about President Trump's defense? I understand that he's going to have 2 days to respond after the articles are transferred to the Senate. And he had been tweeting about the idea of just pushing for dismissal of the case outright. Is that something that's on the table?
Well, I think it is on the table, but it's not likely to be the scenario, because what we're likely to see is Republicans want to hear both sides of the argument. They don't want to be accused, of conducting some kind of a sham trial. And so they're likely to not want to have to vote to acquit before there's any arguments even presented.
But with acquittal all but certain, how does this set the stage potentially for the 2020 election?
Well, I think that for Donald Trump, really, this is perhaps the best possible scenario, is to have this all play out in a way in which he was able to characterize the House impeachment process as being a political endeavor, not something that is more substantive than that, and then go into the election having been acquitted by the Senate. He can say that he was absolved, essentially, of any wrongdoing. And so I think that in some ways this positions Trump very well. And it's important to remember that we're coming up on about a year out from the what would be his second inaugural if he does win re-election. Of course, that remains a big if. But I think in some ways, as we draw closer to the election, this puts him in a better position than some may have envisioned just a couple of weeks ago.
In our last minute here, interesting that as the House impeachment inquiry was going on, reports that Russian hackers may have been working in parallel. What do we know about this?
Yeah, so it sounds as though there is some sense that perhaps Russian hackers were targeting the company Burisma, which is the company that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, had been on the board of. And so I think that that raises some questions in line with the questions we've been hearing from the U.S. intelligence community all along about Russian attempts to influence this next election, about whether or not Russia is still doing that and whether specifically they may be looking to undermine Joe Biden's campaign. We heard from a top Trump official over the weekend that there were concerns about that. And so this seems to be in line with those concerns.
Lots going on. Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen, I imagine you got a pretty sharp eye on J.P. Morgan shares this morning.
I do indeed. J.P. Morgan Chase shares up 1.3% this morning. Nathan, this after equity and fixed income trading revenue beat analysts' estimates. Of course, we'll continue to watch those shares throughout the day. S&P futures still lower, down 3.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 8 and NASDAQ futures down 18. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.83%, and the euro 1.1130 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.